All right, so this oral history is being recorded as part of a project with the Temple Emmanuel Congregation in Greensboro, North Carolina, in partnership with grad students within the public history program at UNCG. So just to start out, do you want to give your full name, when you were born?
Rosenbacher, R-O-S-E-N-B-A-C-H-E-R. Tager, T-A-G-E-R. I'm born, it's been a long time, May the 13th, 1930.
All right, and then I guess let's get into some family history. So we did when you were born, but where were you born and what would you say is your earliest memory?
Oh, you mean what city was I born in?
Yeah, sure.
Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Earliest memory, it wasn't being born.
Okay, so what else do you want to tell us about your family history?
You asked me 100 questions. They were the most prominent Jewish family in Winston-Salem. My grandparents got married there in 1885, and there was I got the newspaper clippings. There's I got a whole scrapbook of newspaper clippings because my family in Winston were very, very, I didn't say wealthy, but very prominent, okay? And
why do you think that is?
Well, there was about 3 Jewish families in Winston-Salem. My family moved there right after the Civil War. Not a long time ago. Most Jewish people came over in large numbers about the time of the Fiddler on the Roof, you know, that peddler story. My family, who were German Jews, I've never really known exactly why they left Germany, except that they weren't terrorized. They didn't have any freedom. Jewish people in Germany have never had much freedom. So my grandfather was like 17 and he came over on a boat to Hamburg. I've got passports and stuff. I've done my research and came to Eastern North Carolina, came up through like Mississippi. There was no such thing as Ellis Island. In 1870, he came up through Mississippi, up the port, as opposed to New York, because most people came to Ellis, later, they still came to New York. That's why Winston-Salem had 3 Jewish families, and New York had 1,000 years ago, okay? That was a real popular destination for Jewish people in New York, and then he went to Kinston, North Carolina. I don't think he stayed long. My grandfather died when he was 39 years old. That's why I'm limited on my information, because he died 9 years after he got married and left my grandmother a widow with 4 babies. Now, what else you want to know about my family? Why were they prominent? They were prominent because I can't say they were super rich. But they did. You saw the house. Did you Google that?
Right. Yeah, I saw the house.
That was considered the most beautiful home ever built in Winston-Salem in 1908. That's long, 110 years ago, and they had a huge, huge in those days. Most people had a little shop. They had a department store downtown. It was 3 stories high. So obviously they came to this country with some money.
Did your family own a department store downtown?
Oh, they own with sale.
Oh.
I mean, you don't live in a mansion like that. You have got a little money.
Well, maybe that's why they were prominent. That would make. Do you remember what the department store was called?
Morrisenbacher Brothers.
Morrisenbacher.
Oh, you can go home and Google it. It's got so much about it. And so
interesting.
It was there from 1880 to 1927, and the Depression did us in. It did many people in. It did not leave us poverty stricken, but they had a little fire in the store and they decided just to close up because my grandfather had died And my grandfather died in 1893. And like I said, my grandmother had four babies.
Then how many siblings did you have?
Zero, but I had one brother and he made a mistake. Born in Winston-Salem, which is the tobacco capital of the world. Camel cigarettes were so famous, so well known, and so branded that every soldier in the Second World War, every day they came around and gave packs of cigarettes. They wanted to get them addicted. I'm talking about millions of packs of cigarettes. See, I'm anti-smoking. Mm-hmm. I'm also anti-alcohol. But I grew up, you open your windows in the morning and you smell, it's not bad smell, the tobacco. Mm-hmm. It was leafed by hand. And we had thousands of Afro-American women with no education. I'm going back, when I was a child, in 1930s mm-hmm. and 1940s, and the whistle blew at 5 o'clock, and you all these hundreds and hundreds of dark-skinned women came out into the city from the factories. Mm-hmm. Because they had spent the whole day for probably 10 cents an hour leafing tobacco. They have been replaced by mechanism. You can leaf tobacco now in 2 seconds. I mean, it's all computerized, mechanized. But all they used to spend all day get the stems off the tobacco. And Winston-Salem was known for Reynolds Tobacco Company. I went to R.J. Reynolds High School. Mm-hmm. We had a Reynolds Hospital and the big, huge estate in the country was called Renolda. Mm. And my family built that house in the country, which is now 8 blocks from the courthouse square. Hmm. That's how Winston-Salem was grown. Mm-hmm. My father was born in Winston-Salem. My father was born in Winston, North Carolina. There were two separate towns. Hmm. Salem was famous, and still is, for the Moravians who came over from Germany mm-hmm. and settled there, and all the other people, like my family, moved to Winston, North Carolina. And about 1905, they put a hyphen in the middle and merged the two together.
Merged the two together.
So I was very proud of the fact that I went to R.J. Reynolds High School. That's where I finished.
And then what did you do after?
My father, back in those days, Daddy graduated from high school in 1905. And just to interrupt you, did you know that in 1905, only people who were rather smart and rather affluent finished high school? Most of them just dropped out of school and went to work, especially if you had a farm. But mm-hmm. everybody, and they finished high school. That was, you know, a big deal back in 115 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my grandmother, my father's mother, went to Salem Academy, which is a fine private school, and my father's sister went to Salem College. My father's brother went to Chapel Hill. It was a big deal back in the olden days. Mm-hmm. His brother went to Staunton Military Academy in Staunton, Virginia. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that sort of stuff.
Hmm. So that's sort of your
German
grandparents?
German Jews were educated, huh?
That's your grandparents, right? That's sort of the generation you're talking about?
No, my father's generation.
Okay, your father's generation.
Oh, no, my grandmother also went to school. I mean, my grandmother finished school in Winston-Salem, and she was a very lovely-looking woman. And my grandfather, who settled in Winston from Germany, obviously, it's all before my time. They fell in love. That home is still very much a landmark. Hmm. Oh, everybody wants to see a home inside. It's commercial now.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to have to drive by next time I'm over there.
Yeah, we go in. They got a restaurant in there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. charcuterie. It's called charcuterie.
It's called charcuterie.
Charcuterie is a cheese restaurant.
Hmm. I might have to stop by.
Oh, you will. Absolutely. About my family, my grandmother is unusual too. She was born in Richmond, Virginia, almost during the Civil War, because she was born in 1865 in Richmond, Virginia. And there was no Jewish cemeteries in the 1800s of any consequence in North Carolina, really. And I have about 12 members of my family born or buried in Richmond, Virginia, which is one of the oldest Jewish cemeteries in the country.
Hmm. Yeah. Wow.
I'm very proud of my... I have nothing to do with it, you understand? But I'm very proud of my...
Yeah. Well, it's impressive you know so much about your family history.
It is, considering that my grandfather... My grandmother, she died in 1943. I was a little girl. I mean, I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't quiz her about her history, but I just captured it. Articles had been in the paper, in the Winston-Salem paper, so many times. They had a column by a former school teacher who... It was called Mostly Local. She had a column like every week on the past history of Winston-Salem. And she consistently, the editor, the lady who wrote it, she mentioned our name because we were so well known.
Interesting.
It is. In Greensboro, you have three Jewish families. The Benjamins, Benjamin Parkway.
Okay.
And you have the C-O-N-E Cones, which is very wealthy and very prominent. And they had Cone Mills, which was the largest denim maker in the world for blue jeans. I'm talking about 100 years ago. You had Levi's and so forth. Jeans have been around a long time.
So is that based in Greensboro, the Cones?
Yeah, Cone Boulevard. Oh yeah. Well, I know all the Cones. I'm sure. I'm sure. Back in the olden days, it was probably K-A-H-N Con as opposed to Cone.
Okay.
And then you had another family called the Sternbergers,
mm-hmm.
and the Benjamins. I just love talking about Greensboro. I have been here 60 years in my house. I've been here 60 years, right here.
Wow.
And so I know some. I know more of. I was only 20 when I left Winston-Salem, so I know more about Greensboro in a way.
Why did you leave Winston?
Got married.
Oh, you got married? How did you meet your husband?
At a Jewish singles weekend in Whitesville Beach, North Carolina, which is near Wilmington. I was aggressive. Gorgeous guy. He just finished Duke. He had been in the service for 2 years because he was... drafted in those Second World War. Mm-hmm. He was drafted in 1945. And we had a Jewish singles weekend for not little teenagers, but for mature single.
Right.
And I wasn't necessarily looking for a husband. I was 21. And I'm walking along the beach, and here's this gorgeous guy with green eyes and blonde hair sitting on the towel, on his towel. Putting suntan lotion on his back. I was cute. I was wearing a bikini. I don't know, a bikini, but you see. I mean, I was a young child. I mean, good God. 20 years ago. I walked over to him and I said, I'll put that suntan lotion on for you. 6 weeks later, you proposed. We saw a planned wedding. And when I was...
That's amazing.
When I was married 6 years, I had 4 children.
So you have 4 children, and then what's the order?
Boy, girl, boy. And then there were 6, 4, 2, and a new baby.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I loved having children, and they grew up right here in this house.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved to Greensboro from Durham, I lived in Durham 10 years because my husband was born in Durham, and we had a chain of history. We had a chain of men's high-end clothing stores.
You had multiple locations, right, at some point?
At some point. No more.
Right.
Now, we got 1,000 locations because we're online. Mm-hmm. And people can order pants from France or California or Canada. I mean, it doesn't matter. Business is okay. Now, like it used to be, when I went to school, college and high school, young men, they would take their last penny, dollar, to buy a cashmere sweater. Mm-hmm. We had what they call Ouija loafers or Deltons. Mm-hmm. See, if you could remember, you were older. Mm-hmm. And they dressed so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And now, the more holes you have in your jeans, the more expensive the jeans are. Mm-hmm. It's just so sad. So we had a store for 40 years.
And what was it called?
The Hub, H-U-B, in Chapel Hill.
Okay.
On the main street downtown, which is called Franklin Street. Our business was unbelievable. I mean, we had a half a dozen salespeople and a little store. It just, it was very important to people to look nice. I go to fancy restaurants and I see people in there that you wouldn't believe. They're wearing holy jeans. I mean, we don't make expensive restaurants. And they wear sandals. So we're lucky we got a little store, we got left. Mm-hmm. But no, we would have had only probably one anyway because the web's changed everything. You don't have to have 20 stores in a state, North Carolina, to do business because...
Did you and your husband work there at the store?
Oh, no, we started it.
You started
oh,
it
we,
and
oh,
then...
Oh, we started. I was 22 and he was 25 and we started the store. And this year... We're still in business.
Right.
70 years my store's been in business.
So your son runs it now, one of your
two
sons,
of
right? Two of them?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And they're old men now. 162, 169. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking about retiring, but the Hub, we started with a little store, little, in Durham, North Carolina, where my husband went to high school, Durham High School, mm-hmm. Jewish, mm-hmm. and then he went to Duke for 4 years. But I'm proud of that. Mm-hmm. He was smart.
One of the things about the interview we want to kind of talk about is, you know, like your specific experience being Jewish in Greensboro. So I'm curious, as someone who owned a business, as a Jewish person who owned a business in Greensboro, did you ever feel like you felt any tension with other businesses because you were Jewish? Or, like, you ever felt like you got treated differently because you were Jewish? Or not really?
I got to say not really, because we were such a lovely store. Mm. And I got to interject this. It has nothing to do with Judaism. We had a store in downtown Greensboro in 1964. When all the important businessmen were downtown. We didn't have all these suburban office buildings like that. You know, you got all the big buildings downtown. Mm-hmm. And I mean, at lunchtime, when it was lunchtime, there were hundreds of men in business suits walking up to town, walking to get lunch. Mm-hmm. And we had a black tailor. We had several. Business was so good. We had several tailors. We had a tailor shop in our store, mm-hmm. to just take care of all the customers. Mm. And one of the tailors was very polished, very charming, very well spoken. And my husband, this is 1964, we're talking about 55 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Said, "Charles, I want you to quit being a tailor and come up on the floor and wait on customers." And he said to my husband, "Henry, do you know what you are doing? People will not come in your store if you would employ black people to wait on customers." It was unheard of 50 years ago. And my husband said, "If they don't come in, fine. I want you to work for them." He worked for us for 40 years in sales.
Wow.
But I'm just saying, open-minded.
Right.
And I didn't hurt our business. All the prominent black people came to the store. As far as being Jewish, you know, I'm sure it was very subtle. When I was growing up, especially, anti-Semitism, I didn't feel it. I believe it's worse than ever now.
Hmm.
It's got to be. It's gone in reverse. They have gone into synagogues around the country and shoot every. You know, they've had murders, bombs, you name it. What very sad.
It is sad.
Yeah, it's terrible. And they went. You know, they've gone out into black churches and shoot like, and have shot many. You know, in the past year,
mm-hmm.
and shot people. We've always done a really nice business.
Mm-hmm.
We had so many wonderful people work for us. Downtown Durham, where we started, we had 4 stores, I think, in Durham, in shopping centers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, it evolved to be.
Do you know how many stores, like the most you had at 40? Once? 40?
Yeah, but I had 3 ice cream parlors at Myrtle Beach. We had a bingo parlor. I owned a nightclub in Chapel Hill, which was back in the 60s, had a group of black people came every Saturday night with a band, and they were called, I can't think of his first name, Dave Clark and the Hot Nuts.
Huh.
But we had a nightclub. What else did we have? We had a string of discount stores and high-end men's stores. High-end meaning when we opened our first store, a gentleman could come in and buy a nice dress shirt. You know, you walked in a store back in the old days, people wore dress shirts and ties. And now I went to see my stockbroker one day. He was sitting there, Merrill Lynch, with his feet up on the desk, cowboy boots, and, you know, a sports shirt. We're lucky we're still in business, right?
Mm.
Because people are dressing so, I hate to use the word bad. It's bad.
Casual, I guess.
A little too casual. Mm-hmm. It all started about 30 years ago, 20 years ago, when we had Friday. It was called Casual Friday,
mm-hmm.
and it still is. I saw a girl the other day, she had on jeans. I said, you got jeans on? She said, yeah, it's Friday. So then they decided that was wonderful. And the next thing you know, every day was casual. It just really hurt things.
That makes sense. Yeah, and now everybody works from home. Too, so nobody, people work from home so much because of COVID.
You can work in your pajamas.
Okay, so let's get into this, a little bit more of the religious background of your family. Had they been traditionally like Reform or Orthodox?
There was nothing. I mean, I was the first, I got married in 1952.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first bride in our new temple. We didn't even own a temple. In Winston-Salem,
mm-hmm.
where I grew up, we used to meet, you know, and we had a little space downtown on the second floor of a store, and we had 50 chairs in there. We had a ark and some little rooms around for Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't believe it how slow we were getting. That was in Winston-Salem.
Wow.
But in Greensboro, we had a temple from about 1906. But in Winston, we were slow over there because we didn't have a temple until the 50s. You think about that.
Hmm.
So you asked me, what was your question?
Well, so were your parents and grandparents, like, did they attend temple? Or
we had no temple.
So
it was the Salem.
They sort of had like that makeshift temple that you're talking about.
And that wasn't until after the turn of the century. I mean,
right.
Whereas in Charleston, South Carolina, and other coastal cities, Wilmington, North Carolina, some very old, Boston, New York, maybe some old temples.
Mm-hmm.
You see, how do they worship? They didn't worship. They didn't.
So you didn't go to temple growing up then?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, no, it was a makeshift.
Oh, wow.
I taught Sunday school. I came in after school in the afternoon sometime when I was in high school. And I used to, you know, you've never heard of a mimeograph machine, did you?
I don't think so.
You put a copy on there, which has been typed out, and you roll it around. And that's when we did our Friday night bulletins. I mean, today they come in, our bulletins are so polished,
mm-hmm.
colorful. And this was like historical. I got typed it. But yeah, I was active. My mother was a sisterhood and stuff. But but we just didn't have a physical building.
Right. Doesn't sound like that mattered too much anyway.
So my father, when my grandmother got married in 1885, she would have had a rabbi come down to Winston-Salem. Mm-hmm. They were Jewish enough to import a rabbi to marry her. And my grandfather, we're talking about 1885, we're talking about 135 years
Where ago. Would the rabbi have come from?
Richmond.
Oh, wow.
Got on a train. I mean, there weren't no cars. Think about it. There were no cars in 1885. He got on a train and came down to Winston-Salem. And when my aunt got married, my father's sister, in 1920, they had to get a rabbi from somewhere else. I mean, people don't realize it. There was just nobody, no rabbis. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not talking about Birmingham, maybe, or Atlanta, but I'm talking about, these were smaller. Winston-Salem was what they call one horse town. I was going, Greensboro was, when I moved here, I've been here 60 years. Our temple today is huge.
Mm-hmm.
We have, oh gosh, probably 600 families. When I first moved here, we had probably 150 families.
So growing up, did you have like Shabbat? Like, did you guys do all sort of the ceremonies and everything?
I used to have a big Christmas tree up to the ceiling. Invite the rabbi for dinner. Christmas trees, my father had Christmas trees. Just for the record, German Jews were not like Russian Jews. The idea was to come over here from Germany and be educated. See, a lot of other nationalities like Russia, Lithuania, Romania, the Jewish people, they were smart enough to come over here, but they were not very educated. And my family, Germans were snobs anyway, and they thought they were kind of affluent. And what were you asking me?
Well, I was just asking if you did, like, you participated in any Jewish ceremonies in your home.
Not much. Like, I'm not proud of it. It's just the way it was. I didn't like the candles on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have a Jewish wedding when I got married. I had a rabbi. And I taught Sunday school.
Well, everybody lives their life differently, you know. My dad, like, I grew up with a Christmas tree, too, because...
Wait, you had a Christmas, but you were...
Because my mom is Jewish.
But your father was not.
But my father's
not. You had Hanukkah and you had Christmas.
So we had both.
German Jews, you didn't dare intermarry. When I came home and told my grandmother I was getting married to Henry, my handsome, charming husband, she was upset because his family were from Russia or Lithuania or some. They weren't German Jews. And German Jews are snobs. And we have quite a few families here in Greensboro, the Benjamins, the Sternbergers, the Cones, and I could just go on home. And then the Talhuis, since you're young, a lot of prominent German Jews were quite wealthy. We weren't quite wealthy, comfortable.
So since you've been with the temple for so long.
Oh, I mean, my mother joined the temple here in 1952. How long is that?
A long time.
70 years this year.
Wow.
And she always tried to go to temple. I went to temple. I didn't make it sound so horrible.
Do you remember any like important leaders throughout the temple's history that you were particularly maybe like?
Oh, yeah, we had lots of wonderful presidents. I mean, presidents, I got a list of them right here. My temple.
Mm-hmm.
I've always paid dues, very generous.
Has going to temple changed over time, do you feel like, or is it sort of the same?
It's sort of the same. All my three boys were bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter was not bat mitzvah because our rabbi, when she was 13, didn't. It was a new thing. Bat mitzvah was new. Bar mitzvah was old. And he didn't bat mitzvah anybody.
Mm-hmm. My mom wasn't bat mitzvahed either, I think, for the same reason.
She's from Alabama?
She's from Atlanta.
Your mom was from Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Oh, Atlanta's been Jewish. I used to go down to a party.
Yeah, Atlanta's has a huge Jewish community.
Oh, yeah, probably the speaking thing. We had people came from all around once a year. I got an invitation to it in 1951. I got it in my drawer.
I know the Progressive Club was big there. Is that what you're thinking of?
The Progressive Club is interesting. That was a Progressive Club. The old club where all the old German Jews were was called the Standard Club.
Okay.
And then we had the Mayfair. There were three country clubs, and they're all kind of divided. Fans, old German Jews went to Standard Club. I forget what the Mayfair was, but you know, my country clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we used to have a good time there.
You used to go down to Atlanta?
Huh?
You used to go to Atlanta?
Oh, that was fun. I went down to Atlanta for a weekend. These are Jewish events.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to stay 3 days, ended up staying 2 weeks. I was so cute when I was a young girl. I had to get all my dates in.
That's awesome.
Isn't that funny? I went to the Progressive Club. And I know a lot of people in Atlanta. Only, that don't mean a thing. If you told me you knew a lot of people in Greensboro, I'd probably say, yeah, I know about half of them in Atlanta. It's so huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, huge. I love Greensboro. My children never left. Well, they did too. They got grew up and went away. But I went to U. I'm very proud. We three out of the four went to UNCG.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter went to Chapel Hill for a master's. But I have no negative comments about Greensboro, North Carolina. I have been a member of the temple there for 60 years.
Do you think you're the longest member? Do you know anyone who's been a member longer
than
you?
Well, yeah, people who are older than me. And there's just couldn't be many, could there?
I don't know.
No,
I don't.
I ain't too many
people. You tell me.
No, ain't too many people older than me. But, I know. See a guy, he's a little sick now. He's 103, but.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Dr. Marks.
Oh, wow.
He's, you answered such a good question. The only people that could be old. Be members longer than me, mm-hmm. older than me, and there aren't that many left. I'm now considered, 92. I'll be 92 soon.
Well, have they been with the temple as long as you too?
Oh, a couple of families started the temple, but it's the family. Their father started in like 1906.
And they're still there?
The family are.
Wow.
The old man I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And his brothers, and his children are all. Grown up.
Right.
The Marks, M-A-R-K-S. But there's nobody you could have asked in that family because they all died.
Okay, I have another question for you. So how would you describe over time sort of the temple's feelings about Israel? Does that make sense?
Well, I need my daughter here. You know how many times she's been to Israel?
She was telling me a lot.
Over 20.
I'm going this summer.
I went once. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Are you going on a special group?
I went already once on Birthright, that program. And then I'm going again this summer with UNCG to study abroad.
Oh, not March of the Living. We have a March of the Living.
No, so. I haven't been on March of the Living.
That's so popular.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going with UNCG to Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't take anything from my one time I went there, but it's been 25 years. That's not that long.
Well, I was reading the anniversary book the temple made.
I just got it.
Yeah, I was reading it, and it's interesting because it talks about in the very beginning that there was a real, it seemed like from the notes from the temple, like from the sermons, that there was a real desire to create sort of a state of Israel. So I'm curious,
1948 is when it created.
Right. So I'm curious, did sermons sort of talk about that at that time? Was that something they addressed?
I was a teenager.
Right.
1948, I was graduating from high school.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you any interesting statistics on that because I probably wasn't that interested.
Right. Do you have, like, do you know how people sort of, like, maybe people your age or friends you have feel about Israel? Because there's sort of a, there's a lot of stuff in the news about Israel. And a lot of times when you meet Jewish people, they have strong opinions about Israel. Do you feel like people you go to temple with or people you're friends with, Jewish people your age, sort of feel that way or not really?
I don't have many people my age to talk to. Isn't that funny? When I moved here, I was 33.
Mm.
I didn't know anybody in 92. And I can't believe that I'm one of the oldest people in our congregation. And we have a, you ever been to Temple Emmanuel?
I haven't, unfortunately.
Oh, it's magnificent. It's wonderful. Beautiful. Have you seen the building?
I have.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. We have so many intellectual, smart Jewish people in Greensboro,
mm-hmm.
but there are people all over the place who are very anti-Semitic. It's just the way it is. He's a Jew. I mean, it's like, what college? You know why? I've had people come to my, talk to me, to my face and say, Peggy, I love you to death. You're just wonderful. But until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not go to heaven. I said, well, I believe in heaven, and I think that if I do all the good deeds that I do, generous, nice, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you do. It's if you don't believe in Jesus, you're like, ah, so to this day, is that anti-Semitic? They don't mean it ugly, but they mean it.
I get what you're saying. Like, I grew up in Alabama, you know, so it's very Christian.
Wasn't that very anti-black?
In a way,
we had the marches down there and stuff.
It's definitely a very sort of prejudiced place in general, but I had a lot of times, like, I had a teacher who asked to pray over me when she found out I was Jewish.
Oh my God, because you don't believe in Jesus.
Because obviously she thought I needed saving. So I definitely get where you're coming from. I definitely understand that feeling.
But that's, people didn't say that to me when I was a teenager. They didn't even think about it. But I'm talking about today, people will say, I saw a friend that's loved me. And we got for lunch or whatever. But until you can accept Jesus, you're not going to heaven.
That's so interesting that you feel like, I guess, that you've experienced more anti-Semitism later in life, right? Than
They're not ugly to me. They're my friends.
Right.
They just make a statement. I've been to COVID, I went to Bible study, Christian Bible study. 25 years, so I'm not typical of anybody.
Hmm.
I mean, you say, why would I do that? I just got a lot of Christian friends,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoy the fellowship and reading the Old Testament and the New Testament. Oh, I've had people, my friends, I even were friends there who they don't know much about Judaism,
right.
Oh, no. When I first started there 25 years, 30 years ago, Jesus was the Son of God. They've changed that. Are you aware of that? Now they have a different feeling.
Mm-mm.
Jesus is God. Mm. I brought up, Jesus, didn't you, Jesus was the Son of God?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you heard.
Right.
But now Jesus is God. Whole new, in a way then, I guess that's worse.
Hmm.
But my family, we don't dwell on it.
Mm-hmm.
We've been here for so many generations, you know, since I said 18. No, my that's my father's side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mother's side, we're talking about 1850, I mean, being born in Pennsylvania. So I'm from what they call antique family.
It's pretty interesting that your family's been in this area for so long. Feel like that's pretty unusual.
We came after the Civil War right here. I mean, you know, down the road. Winston-Salem, that's not far.
Mm-mm. That's a long time for one family to sort of stay in a pretty close area.
I have to say you're probably right. I can't imagine being in any other way. My daddy graduated from Winston-Salem Senior High School. 1905.
So this is sort of a more fun one. So what do you since you've been in Greensboro for a long time, what do you enjoy doing around here? What activities, and do you have any like hobbies or anything like that that you feel like?
I've aged out. When I came to Greensboro, I was very active in sisterhood. I was chairman of the social committee. So when the BBYO or whatever had weekends,
mm-hmm.
I was coordinating with all the food and stuff. Yeah, I was in a DASA, never active, but I was a dues paying member, and I went to meetings. I was an ORT. ORT is a organization for what? ORT. You ever heard of ORT?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I can look it up later, though.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think what else I was in. I mean, I was active in four organizations. ORT.
Well, you
Council,
told me you
Council
like
of Jewish Women.
Council of Jewish Women.
Yeah, that was a real big deal. And mm-hmm. I was a treasurer for about 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was a busy. There's an old saying, if you want something done, ask a busy person. And I being on committees and little chairmans and stuff, I found that the people who accepted the ones that, like my daughter, who just could do 100 things, multitask.
Mm-hmm.
But I was four organizations.
Well, you told me you like to go. You went to the symphony recently, right?
I had season tickets to symphony since 1963.
Wow.
I still go. I went to see Beethoven's Ninth at the new, not Tanger, Tanger Center. People have been getting me mixed up with the Tangers for almost 60 years.
Huh.
You've heard, you know the Tanger Center?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I have had season tickets, like I said, to the symphony. Oh, just like last Sunday, I went to UNCG Recital Hall for the chamber concert.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've been promoting the symphony and working on the committees. We had fundraisers. And then I'm a bowler.
You're a bowler?
I bowl on the league for up until recently. I didn't want to fall down. From 1964 until 2014, how long is that? 50 years. 50 years, I bowl all
the way. Oh my gosh, that's so amazing.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I met so many kinds of people who from all walks of life. Bowling is not necessarily the country club set, but I loved every minute of it, 50 years. Okay, so I had my bowling, my Bible study. So I was a symphony guild. I still am a symphony guild. That's our supporting organization to raise money for the symphony. I've been doing that forever. And, you can ask Karen. I've never been one just to sit here. And now, I've run out of energy. Yeah, I mean, at my age, I'm still glad. A lot of women, 92, the children have taken the keys away from them. They won't drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I still got my record verbal, right?
Mm-hmm. I saw it. Yeah.
That's so cute. And, what am I doing now for activity? Well, COVID shut down a lot of my
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Do you want to add anything else to your interview before we stop recording?
I want to show you my scrapbook real quick.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop recording.
Oh, well, please do.
Okay.